So here I am at Sotheby's with Francis Christie, who's director of modern and post-war British art. And we're standing in front of a Nat Tate, which I think is the first one that's gone under the hammer, isn't it?
It's an incredibly rare example by Nat Tate, because he destroyed most of his output, and there are actually only around 18 examples of his work left. This belongs to his most important series, the Bridge series. And in this work in particular, you can really see a sense of the artist's handling, his incredible eye for stylization. You can see that in the way that the cranes on the bridge are portrayed, and then my favourite part, the way that he's displayed the murky water beneath. And these are using his own thumbprints.
And William Boyd, his biographer, is here, and are these the dark waters into which he disappeared?
Well, very presciently, yes, and it's very quite chilling to think that these fingerprints are as close as we'll ever get to the late Nat Tate.
It's a small drawing, it's only, what, I suppose, 4 inches by 8, something like that. When the hammer finally comes down, Francis, what do you expect this to go for?
We've estimated at £3,000 to £5,000, but as ever with auctions, the sky is the limit.
Let's cut through all this, because at least half that value, Will Boyd, is because you did it yourself.
Well, I'm glad you say half, Jim. Maybe 1%. Yes, it's all my own work. I am not only the biographer of Nat Tate, but I also made him up, and I do his artwork for him as well.
Well, of course, it is one of the great hoaxes, and what, 12 years ago now, 13 years ago, where you created an artist, gave him a backstory, wrote a biography, notes in obscure German artistic magazines, had a launch in New York. A lot of people fell for it, didn't they?
Yes, because we just presented it straight. I mean, David Bowie was actually my publisher, a rare honour. He published the book, Nat Tate, An American Artist, and so he just read extracts from it that night in Jeff Koons' studio. It was a very glittering, glamorous party. And one of the co-conspirators, who was a journalist, was wandering around asking leading questions, and of course people dug holes and jumped into them.
Well, I mean, how many people actually began to claim some acquaintanceship with the work of this entirely fictional figure?
Well, probably not that many, but there were people in London, because I was doing the sort of London launch, and I was being interviewed by a very eminent journalist who I will not name, but people had completely bought it, because A, he was obscured, he died in 1960, he destroyed all his work, so it's perfectly plausible that he had disappeared from the record. And of course, people say, oh yes, Nat Tate, I think I went to a show once.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about it.
Yes, exactly. It's a very human failing.
Apart from wanting to write a good story, which is your trade, why did you want to do it with such elaborate preparations?
Well, I wasn't really thinking of a hoax, interesting enough. That sort of almost overtook me. What I was wanting to do was create a fiction that was so real that people would forget or disbelieve its fictive status. So behind the whole enterprise was an attempt to create this artifact that had all the appurtenances of truth, reportage, history around it, but in fact was completely and utterly made up.
It's an interesting thing that this, Francis, because valuing a picture which is a hoax, and it's a lovely, intriguing drawing, but it is a Boyd, not a Tate, does that make it worth more or less?
I think it definitely makes it worth more. And the art world loves a good hoax. We had it here ourselves a few years ago. We sold a painting by one of the earliest art hoaxes of the 20th century, a painting by Bruno Hatt, which was the result of a great hoax by the Bright Young Things. And that picture, although it was actually painted by an artist, John Banting, that picture fetched £27,000. So let's see what Nat Tate can do.